So it is the beginning of the new year in some ways as we begin new routines. And as always at the gathering, our chair is empty as our kids go out. And we are just so thankful for all the kids and for all those who support the kids in the Sunday school program. So we really do start a new year with praise, a new school year as it were. And we really want to bless Rachel as well as she gives leadership to that program. If you would like to, as we start, you can close your eyes. You can put your palms up if you want. And I'm just going to lead us through a verse from Psalm that enters us into a place of stillness. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I. Be still and know. Be still. Be. God, we thank you that a gift that you give to us is quiet, is rest, is stillness. Help us to be mindful of this gift this morning and throughout our weeks. Help us to know that you invite us to be still and to know that you are God. As we continue into our morning worship, God, we thank you that you know our journeys, that indeed you are the author of our journeys, that you see us, that you know us, that we belong to you, and that we can come to you and receive your care and love, knowing that you've got us. You're not going to fail us. And we invite you, Spirit, in the fullness of your presence this morning. Amen. A number of years ago, I was on an educator's tour in Europe where we were studying the sites of the Holocaust and the memorials of the Holocaust. So not a happy trip, but a trip of great learning. And on that trip, four of the educators on the trip were Jewish. And while we were there for this nine-day period, it passed over a weekend. And so on the day of the Sabbath, I decided to join two of my friends who choose to follow a very observant Sabbath through their Jewish faith. And as they call it, in the Hebrew term, they call it Shabbat. And so I joined them in this observance, and also I acted as their helper so that they could live out the Sabbath to the deepest desire, as fully as they desired to, as this day of really ceasing from work. And so it actually meant that I was pushing elevator buttons for them and opening doors for them, paying their subway fare, meaning dropping in the ticket or the money, because they were seeking to cease from all work. And as the sun set on that Friday evening, which is the welcoming of their Sabbath, I joined them in lighting candles and in praying this prayer with them, which was welcoming and blessing the Sabbath. And the prayer was, and there was evening and there was morning, a sixth day. The heavens and the earth were finished, the whole host of them. And on the seventh day, God completed his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work that God had created to do. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, sovereign of the universe, who made all things exist through his word. You have lovingly and willingly given us your holy Shabbat, your holy Sabbath, as an inheritance, as a memory of creation. Because it is the first day of our holy assemblies and memories of our exodus from Egypt, blessed are you who sanctifies Sabbath. Amen. It was a really moving and meaningful experience to me to stop and to give God praise for his creation of this day set apart from work, to consciously stop, and in stopping to give God thanks for his design, for the rhythm of day and night, for the rhythm of work and of rest. And I think of this experience often and recall what it meant to me then to both give thanks to God for the work that we had completed that week, and to also give thanks to God for what was coming up, this stopping, this ceasing to work. And I really thought that during that trip that I would, or I should, return home and be more intentional in putting aside a 24-hour period of Sabbath, or more pure Sabbath, which is my term. But I wasn't really successful in setting that time aside weekly as a 24-hour period. But what I have focused on more is including what I call Sabbath rhythm and Sabbath expression throughout my week. Sabbath, or Shabbat, as they say in Hebrew, means to cease. It means to end or to rest. And Sabbath was created by God, and so we therefore know that it's a very sacred and a divine institution. And as Pastor Steve has shared over the past couple of weeks, God included a day of rest in his creation, and God freed the Israelites from a life of brick-making, and he frees, therefore, the Sabbath, which is restoring balance to Israel. If you'd like, you can join me reading a portion of Exodus 20 that we'll find up on the screen. We're good. Here we go. We can read together if you like. And God spoke all these words. The seventh day. If some of us looked into the way some Jews celebrate Sabbath, we might see it or view it as a day filled with really stifling restrictions. But really, what I've learned from my Jewish friends who take seriously the seventh day as a day from all labor is that Sabbath is a precious gift from God. A day of great joy, eagerly awaited throughout the week. A day to put aside all weekday concerns and to devote our time to a higher pursuit. A day of rest and a day of spiritual enrichment. And the mood in a Jewish home in preparation for Sabbath is like preparing for a very special, a beloved guest. The house is cleaned, all are freshly bathed, the table is set, the meal is prepared. And all of this is in order to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. That was God's intended view of Sabbath rest, a day to eagerly await, a day to prepare for it as preparing for a special guest. We know that God is a good and a generous God, and so therefore in creating Sabbath rest for his creation, it is his hope that we will receive it and that we will embrace it. Not as a task or not as a drudgery, but as a joy. And so, as often happens, a positive routine can end up becoming a burden if we don't return to the purpose or to the greater meaning of that routine. And I think of an example from parenting. I was really, really fortunate to be able to walk Mallory, who's now 19, to school from SK to grade 6. And our routine came in those early years to hold hands as we walked to school, and then as the bell rang, we gave each other a great big hug. And I loved this routine. And I received love from it, and I thought I was showing Mallory love, and it was just great. And it worked fine for Mallory until about grade 4, when all of a sudden holding mom's hand and giving big hugs on the playground didn't seem so much like a loving practice. But instead, it was more like a hindrance for her to grow up into her independence. And I remember her saying one morning on our front porch, "Mom, we can say our goodbye hugs here, and you can hold my hand till this corner. But then we're letting go." And in my typical fashion, I said to Mallory, "Oh no. This is a really, really important ritual. This is how we show love to each other. And we're not going to change it." In my not agreeing with Mallory to listen to her, what I did is I took what was this gift of love, this gift of walking to school with her, and I actually took the gift out of it. And I turned it into a restraint for her, an obligation. It no longer was an act of love. And just so you know, I eventually did give up on holding hands and hugging, though it wasn't easy for me as a mom. And I allowed this to become a real blessing to Mallory again for the years coming. In Mark 2, we meet the disciples and Jesus walking through a field of wheat on the Sabbath. And some commentators invite us to think of the disciples walking just leisurely and running their hands over the tops of the grain and heads coming off and rubbing them between their fingers. And other ones say they were going through and they're picking grain and eating it on the way to the synagogue. And with them were the Pharisees. And so in Mark 2, we read this account. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is only lawful for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." When we read this passage, we see immediately the Pharisees' legalistic reasoning. If you study other responses of the Pharisees to any act of work done on the Sabbath, you will see that they primarily view the Sabbath in negative terms. They saw it as a day of restrictions, of responsibility to fulfill the letter of the law. But Jesus regards Sabbath positively as a day of freedom from work that is a gift to humanity, not as a restriction and not as a burden or a law from doing what is good and what is necessary, like healing or eating or showing compassion. In this Mark 2 passage, Jesus refutes the Pharisees' judgment of an unlawful act on the Sabbath by reminding them of a story from their scripture where David did an unlawful act in order to care for those who were hungry and those who were in need. And so the act of compassion trumped the rule. Jesus then makes a claim which casts freedom on Sabbath practices. The Sabbath was made for man, for humanity, not humanity for the Sabbath. The Pharisees had the wrong view of the Sabbath rest, so even though they were following it in what we might say was a truer fashion, they missed out on God's purposes and pleasures of Sabbath. They lived it out as if it were a responsibility rather than a gift. They missed the boat, as it were. I think sometimes we miss the boat. Not because we're so concerned about following a very restricted Sabbath, but because we don't fully enter into the celebration of the Sabbath. We don't welcome it as a precious gift from God, and often we don't intentionally include it into our weekly rhythm. Humanity was not made for the Sabbath. Humanity was not made for the Sabbath so as to be tied up by the law of it. God designed the Sabbath as an advantage for us. God made it for us. In making the Sabbath, God had regard for our bodies that need to rest, our spirits that need to be still. The Sabbath was made for humanity. If this is so, how are you and I benefiting from this God-given gift? If the Sabbath was made for us, how are we embracing it? I don't personally believe that we need to get too hung up on the Sabbath being Sunday or a full 24-hour period, but I do believe that we require a Sabbath rhythm in our lives, which involves us intentionally setting aside a day a week or a set number of hours a week or including Sabbath rhythms into our routines. Practicing Sabbath rhythm, it opens up a space in us for listening, for communing, for being still. Truly for us, where we live in a society where work and overtime are praised, inviting a Sabbath rhythm will require surrender. The surrender is surrendering to God's rhythm and to the belief that when we stop, God's loving work begins without us being directly involved. We surrender into resting from thinking that it is all up to us, that we have to keep at it. We've got to keep moving forward. It's got to get done. I appreciated one author who described Sabbath rhythm as a time where we stop working to allow the Trinity to do their work on us so that we can be the recipient of their blessing. We stop, God works, we receive the blessing. The Sabbath was integrated into the weekly rhythms of Jesus. He participates in communal worship experiences. In Luke 4, we read that Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. We gather here on this morning to celebrate Sabbath. This is part of God's design for Sabbath. In being here, you have chosen to cease from your regular work routine to join a community of people. As we worship with each other, we kind of move out of isolation, out of our cubicles, as it were, to a place of connection with one another and connection to God in a different way than our working week allows us to. Our hope for you really is that when you come to gather to worship on the Sabbath, that you receive a refreshing word from God or an encouragement from another person or a time to stop and be prayed for and blessed. And our worship on the Sabbath can often have a positive influence on the work that we're going to do during the week. Jesus also models a Sabbath rhythm in taking time out for spiritual rest. In the Gospels, we read about Jesus pulling away. After bidding them farewell, he departed to the mountain to pray. But he himself would often slip away to the wilderness and to pray. In slipping away, Jesus models the value of simplifying our lives, of slowing down, of stepping away from routines, of entering solitude or quiet and prayer. Terry, my husband, and I, we try to begin our day with a Sabbath rhythm as often as we can. We do this by entering the day slowly. This often means about a half an hour of sitting in the living room with our hot drinks. There is minimal conversation, but there is a focus on beginning the day lovingly with each other and with the acknowledgement of God's presence with us as we set off towards a task that calls us. Now, if you know me well, I used to want to fill that time with conversation. I wanted it to be talk time. But I have learned to be quiet in that time, to enjoy Terry's presence, to enjoy God's presence in this form of love and peace that comes as we take on a Sabbath rhythm. As you look towards welcoming a Sabbath rhythm into your week, you might consider asking yourself what you need rest from. It sounds a bit odd, but I need to include rest from caring for others in my week. And so I pull apart a time where I stay home and close the door, and I'm just alone. I'm not engaging with people. I also need to rest from talking and from praying and from my mind planning and being active. And I have tried to form a Sabbath rhythm of being quiet with myself and with God. And I actually work on, and I have to work hard on this, on letting my mind become very, very still and very, very quiet. It's a Sabbath rhythm. These are just some examples of what I rest from in my Sabbath rhythm. But Sabbath rhythm also invites us to add elements of joy and of celebration. It invites us to be intentional on a regular basis, making sure, as one author says, and I love this, that we put on our altar things that are delicious and delightful, so that when we taste, hold, and dance them, they bring us delight and help us remember that we're the light of the world and that God wants us to be happy and not exhausted. Sabbath is a time to treasure those things that are completely free and gratuitous. The smell of warm bread, a loving embrace, taking a walk in nature. When we make time for those things, we begin to remember that joy is one of the things that human life is for. In our rhythm of Sabbath, often on a Sunday, we'll join others for lunch, or family joins together for Sabbath supper together as a time of celebrating relationships. And I wonder, Is there room at your table to invite others in to a meal, to celebrate life together, the Sabbath rhythm together intentionally? We can also add intentional times in a week for scripture reading, for praying, for meditating. Saturday mornings in our house are often where we turn on worship music, bringing intentionally in praise and worship into the rhythm of that Saturday morning. You can add intentional conversation with your friend or with your spouse. Add playing and laughing, walking in nature and taking time to observe it, taking a nap, using one of the times of feeding your child as a time to be thankful or to say a psalm, planning a social gathering, putting off responding to texts and emails, setting aside a night or two where you're free from all attention to work, exercising or refraining from exercising, having a day that is free from household tasks, creating a quiet time for your family. This is just a very limited list of ways of creating Sabbath in our weeks. Consider setting aside a time to design some elements that can add Sabbath rhythm to your week. Invite your family or a group of your friends to come up with ideas of how to have Sabbath included into your rhythm. We might also consider steps that we can take before our intended rhythm of Sabbath to allow ourselves to enter into that rest. Often we find that we end up using our rest time as a time of finishing up the details that we didn't get done. 2 years ago, it was so crazy. I found myself looking forward to vacation so I could get my work done without interruption. I lost the plot on that one. We will struggle at times to set aside time for Sabbath rest each week. And I encourage us not to be discouraged, because the principle of Sabbath is more important than the law of Sabbath is. Author and counselor Wayne Muller writes this, and I end this, our service with this. Wayne says, "I'm making a plea for Sabbath keeping, reminding people that they already have permission to rest. Sabbath doesn't need to be justified with the promise of some great spiritual insight. Sabbath is a gift that we're supposed to drink from. The Sabbath has a joyful uselessness to it. We are not supposed to accomplish anything of any significance so that we can stop looking for what's not there and have the time to drink from what's already here. When we're on the wheel of constant work, our eye is on the next thing that has to be done, what hasn't been accomplished yet. Sabbath is a time to eat what you've cooked, to harvest what you've planted, and to give thanks for what you've been given. It's a time to bless our loved ones, to eat, to drink, to show love. The delights associated with Sabbath reminds us that one of the fruits of spiritual practice is useless happiness." May you and I choose to go into joyful uselessness as we enjoy the Sabbath rhythm of God. As we close this morning, I want to invite and introduce you to Rachel Morton. Rachel, you can come on up. Rachel is studying human services and intercultural studies at Emmanuel Bible College in Kitchener. And a requirement of her program is to be involved in a weekly supervised placement, and I get the honor of being Rachel's supervisor. And so we're really thrilled that Rachel has chosen to do her placement through the gathering. And Rachel's going to be giving her creative leadership to the Build-A-Lunch program and to our community supper ministries. And we're just really excited to welcome you to that. And we as a congregation can intentionally be praying for Rachel as she goes into her school year, and also as she serves in this way within our community. And as one of the ways I welcome you to get to know Rachel is I've asked her to share with us how she is seeking to be intentional about including Sabbath rhythm in her weeks that are full of school and of work and of placement. So we'll listen to Rachel for a moment.
Thank you, Catherine. And I am just very excited and very honored to be able to do my placement here. It's awesome to keep on investing into this sphere of community that I have, as I feel that I have a a couple different communities on the go, so it was nice to not have to start a new one. So I've actually been having the conversation of what it means to rest in life and what biblical rest means since, I think, like June. So it was very timely and very suiting that the church would be able to offer me some teaching on that. So that was just a very cool moment to begin with, right as Steve started that series. So last week, part of Steve's message, if anyone was here, I think it was a smaller group because it was Labor Day. Steve talked about some hindrances in rest as well. And I was like, okay, I'm not the only one. I was like, I've been finding it really hard to try and rest. And so when Catherine asked me to speak this morning and just share a little bit, I had written down some practical ways that I feel like I had had victories and hindrances in my journey to find rest. And so some of the hindrances I had was when I go to set aside that time for rest, that I would use it foolishly and either be like, oh, resting is watching TV. And it's like, no, it's not. You're not quiet when you are watching TV. You might just be numbed away from something, but, and this is just like my personal, maybe watching TV is restful, but for me it's not. Or I'd end up just sleeping because I'd be like, I'm going to rest from 10 to 11 at night. And I'm like, no, I'd rather sleep. Or I'd end up just be still working or doing tasks just in a stationary spot. Or just in my mind would still be working. And I'd also tried to put aside one day a week, and that was extremely hard. I don't know if anybody here has actually successfully done that. I'm amazed if you have, but that's really hard to put away a whole 24 hours. So I'm still working on that one, and it was cool to hear Catherine's message this morning saying, maybe that's not what you have to do. Maybe it's just through your daily rhythms. And yeah, so some victories I had through this journey have been, though, is opening up the time of rest in prayer and asking God to help me be restful. Because sometimes when I set apart that time, I think, okay, I should spend this doing a little Bible study or like doing a prayer session for whoever I'm praying for. But I'd be too tired for even that. And I was like, oh, well, that's not right. I should be doing something accomplishing spiritually. But when I was too tired for that, it would just be simply opening up in prayer and asking God to help me rest. And through this even, I learned that I was trying to rest on my own and make it, yeah, like a task for myself. Like, okay, now I have to rest. Like, it shouldn't be a task to rest, right? So, yeah, asking God to help me rest has been really good, and also making it silent. I think that my tendency was to have worship music playing or have classical music without lyrics playing, but that can still just be another distraction. So having complete silence has been good in quieting my mind and just stop doing tasks. Even just my mind thinking about to-do lists, as I am obsessed with to-do lists, so to stop making those has been good. And the last thing that I have been now consistently doing, which has been really good, is just to stop doing any tasks by 10 p.m. I'm like, okay, tasks are done, nothing else. So I think that how this connects to my placement and everything is that I have to do all these different learning objectives, and one of them I put out for myself was under a category of spiritual formation, as they call it, and it is to make sure that I do get enough sleep and enough time before I come in to build a lunch in the morning. And I know for me, getting enough sleep is really important once I get into school and not staying up late doing assignments that I didn't make time for. So I know that it'll make me more alert at build a lunch and at community suppers to make sure I get enough sleep and get up early enough in the morning that I'm not rushing out the door to catch a bus at 6:30, but that I have given myself enough time that morning to pray about going into this placement and being intentional with the kids there and the other volunteers. So, yeah, that's all I really had to say, and I'm just, yeah, really excited to be a part of Build a Lunch this year. So, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Rachel. We welcome you, and we bless you, and we learn from you, and look forward to learning more from you. Thank you. I'm going to invite the worship band up.
And we have had this song as our closing song throughout this series on rest. And today I invite you to, if you would like to, you may sit and receive this as an invitation to God. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. And you can sit and receive that. Or as you stand to sing, you might want to pause at times with palms open and receive Jesus' words to us. Or you might want to sing it loud as we celebrate the rhythm of God. Let's stand and sit for worship.